Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, hey, brothers and sisters. Just here from CC this morning. Do you hear it out? Lord, anyway, huh? I think we still can hear a little bit of that. Praise God. He thought we was worthy. He thought we was worth dying for. Come on, somebody. He thought we was worth dying for. When I think about the goodness of God, and I think about what he thought of us, he thought we was worth dying for. That blesses me. Knowing that he thought we was worthy. Thought we was worth dying for. Thought we was worth dying for. That's awesome. He thought we was worth dying for. Man, that blesses me. He thought we was worth dying for. Isn't that awesome? I mean, when I just really think about that, thought we was worth dying for. Hallelujah. Y'all hang in there with me. Hallelujah. We don't get this shit. Watch what I tell you. Devil. I know he thought we were Satan. I can get somebody to say amen on that. Let's see if I can get Brother Anthony to say that for us. Hallelujah. Brother Anthony, come on and say that for us.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I could be free, so I could be whole, and I could tell everyone I know that you thought I was worth. So you came. You thought I was worth.
I was worth living for, so I could be free. He did all of that so we could be welcome to the word. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're going to ask Pastor Bailey to give us a word of prayer, and we can get right into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you for that song, Pastor. Amen, amen. That's how much God loves us. And it's one version of that song where he starts singing, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. And he go right back into that song. Oh, that's a beautiful song. Amen, amen. The scripture I like to share is our foundational scripture. And that's Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen, amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you once more and again, thanking you, Father God, that you thought enough to die on that cross. And you carried all of our sins to that cross. It was nailed to that cross. But then you took time out to save us, Father God. Just like you spoke to the thief on the cross, you saved him. You took time out to save him as well, Father God. So, Lord, we know that you save us. We just have to surrender ourselves to you, Father God. And, Lord, we thank you for the love that you give us, the love you share, the love that you want us to have for others as well, Father God. So, Lord, we ask that you will bless each and every one of us, Father God, that we may continue in the Word of God, showing others that, yes, God loves you, yes, God forgives you, and there is nothing you can do about it but accept it. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless our pastor as he teaches the Word, Father God, then help us to read the Word. Lord, we're thankful for those that have called in this afternoon or this morning. And we're thankful for those that are listening by internet, Father God. Bless us all that we will have a word, especially from the lesson, and share it with others. Lord, we ask that you be with all those who got to keep them in prayer. Be with those who are bereaved. Be with those who are sick and shut in, Father God. We know you're a way maker. You know you're a healer. And we know you will take care of us. So help us to share that word with others, Father God. We love you and we thank you for all things in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. I just want to say we'll put ourselves in agreement with those people, especially in South Georgia, that's going through the hurricane, Ida. We just want to put ourselves in agreement with those families. I don't know if anybody ever been in a hurricane, but, baby, it ain't no joke. And to see that water taller than your house and the wind, it's just something to behold. So we want to make sure we keep those people and the people in Florida, and from what I understand, it's going to South Carolina and North Carolina. So we just want to be in agreement that those people come out with a testimony. Because believe me, it will be a test, but they will have a testimony for the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that heartfelt prayer, and we put ourselves in agreement with that. Hallelujah. Well, basically, brother and sister, we're talking about what the law could not do. And even though we're talking about law, and grace, because it's kind of hard to have the grace without the law, the law without grace, because the law was weak, couldn't do it. So we needed grace. Hallelujah. I read that somewhere over there in Romans. It's Romans 3, I'm not for sure, but anyway, I think I read it in Romans 8. Romans 8 and 3, that's what it was. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak. Now, y'all hear that. The law is weak, man. Playing church is weak. That keeping the law is weak. It was weak. Through the flesh. So God had to send his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Satan had no idea what was coming until he got here. Now, he even tried to kill him. Now, let's not be ignorant to that, because Herod had ordered that every baby from 6 months to be killed, to die, but he couldn't kill him. But he came and he fulfilled his purpose. So it's the law. But, you know, I'm going to ask a question. And I know yesterday we went through some scriptures, and we'll probably pick it up today in the book of Galatians, probably around the 11th verse, the third chapter and 11th verse. But remember, these people are foolish. They've been bewitched like people today. They actually think going to church will give them eternal life. It won't. That's the law. See, that's things they practice. Law has always been something you practice. See, Christ was the end of the law. He ended the law stuff. He ended the law code. And you got to get that in your mind. You got to hear that several times. Christ ended that law stuff. He ended the go to church stuff. He ended the usher board stuff. He ended that. that was the law. End of that. And all that Moses law stuff. Now, mind you, he gave us something better. Better. We're under a better covenant, better promise.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
But they was bewitched. Matter of fact, one translation said they was crazy. One translation said they was stupid because they thought that that's the way they were to live. And Paul said, now this I learned after I received the Spirit that by works of the law, no, it was by hearing the faith. That's how I learned it. I learned that it was by faith.
Yeah,
and we got a couple of scriptures going to back us up on this, too. Trust me. So he asked him, said, are y'all so foolish? Having begun with the Spirit, that's where you got what you got in the Spirit. What about joining no church? We're playing church. That ain't how you got salvation. I mean, you suffered all of that in vain. Why did you do that? Don't you know that we're to be ministered to by the Spirit and not by works? How you think those miracles came? By works? Like you did it in the name of your denomination or your religion? No. But it came by hearing. You that's what happened. The schoolmasters, you know, he was taking you so you learned. But now, bless God. Now, bless God, we have faith.
Thank you, Lord.
See, they that are operating in faith and the grace of God, these are the children of Abraham.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like the idea that God is not going to justify anybody, so let them brag about what they do, how much church they go to, how many programs. Oh, honey, let them brag about all that garbage. Let me tell you, at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, they will not be made right. The only way you're going to be made right is through faith in Jesus Christ, and in this case, in Christ Jesus, okay? And so, and then he said, now, it's through this that all nations shall be blessed. It's through the faith. And then we learn so we learn that which be of and that faith be of Abraham's seed, and not seeds, but seed, which happens to be Christ. And we'll learn that in a little while. But Abraham was faithful, and because he was faithful, the Lord counted that as righteousness.
Yeah.
Amen. See, for as many as the works of the law are under the curse. See, so as long as you want to do all this work and stuff, you're under the curse. You're not free from that. You're under the curse. As long as you're working and you say, oh, I'm doing this for the Lord, da, 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 da. I don't care if you're selling barbecue dinners. I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing this for the Lord. You're under curse because you're doing it because of the law, because of what they said. And then do it to faith. And if you continue under that law, you can't break it. Let me say that too. You can't break one thing you do wrong. All of it's wrong. So we're going to start today with the 11th verse. And we'll probably read from the 11th verse. Because we need to unpack some of this stuff to about the 12th verse. So let's read, well, kind of hard to, well, we'll read to the 14th, at least to the 14th. So we'll read from 11 to 14. That's Galatians 3, 11th verse through the 14th verse.
Yes, Pastor, Galatians 11, 14. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise God. Reading from the Message Bible. So those now who live by faith are blessed along with Abraham, who lived by faith. This is no new doctrine. That means that anyone who tries to live by his own efforts, independent of God, is doomed to failure. Scripture backs utterly cursed is every person who fails to carry out every detail written in the book of the law. The obvious impossibility of carrying out such a moral program should make it plain that no one can sustain a relationship with God that way. The person who lives in right relationship with God does it by embracing what God arranges for him. Doing things for God is the opposite of entering into what God does for you. Habakkuk had it right. The person who believes God is set right by God, and that's the real life. Rule keeping does not naturally involve into living by faith, but only perpetuates itself in more and more rule keeping, a fact observed in Scripture. The one who does these things, rule keeping, continues to live by them. Christ redeemed us from the self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now, because we are, and we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too, we are all able to receive God's life, his spirit, in and with us by believing, just the way Abraham received it. Amen.
Amen.
So, trying to be right, God, or justify, because the word justify means made right. That's not how it's done, brothers and sisters. By our own effort. It just doesn't work. Having good intentions just doesn't work.
Amen.
Even when we talk about, well, I'll do better next time, or I never do that again, usually end up in failure. So that's what Brother Paul is telling us here. Matter of fact, he points out, like she read about Habakkuk 2 and 4, the just, or the one that made right, is by faith. So let's put a pin there for a moment, because I want you to understand, it's not, faith is not an idea, brothers and sisters. Oh, well, I'm just walking by faith. See, a lot of people I hear saying they're walking by faith, they don't know what faith is. Faith is your substance. Mm-hmm. Your substance is your word. That's what you're standing on. That's what you're depending on. That is your substance. So you have to live by what the word say. And you have to rightly divide the word into truth. You can't live by the Old Testament. I told you, in Romans, that the law was weak. You can't live by the law. Can't live by it. The law couldn't do it. The law can't give you salvation. The law won't I heal you. I can go on and on and on about the law. The law won't give you the spirit of life. The law won't give you eternal life. The law won't give you favor
Amen.
With God. The only thing that gives you favor with God is faith. And that faith is in the word of God. That means you're trusting the word of God. That's what faith is. So he says, so the just shall live by, watch this. The just shall live by his faith. See, pastor can't live by my faith.
Amen.
I can't live by Evangelist William's faith. I can't live by your faith. I can't live by Brother Robinson's faith. I can't live by Sister, can't do it. Sister Evangelist Renee can't live by Evangelist Sharon's faith. It don't work like that. You got to live by your own faith. Well, what that means? Here's what that means. You got to get a scripture and you stand on it. Amen. That's when you know you're living by faith. You live by your own faith. You have that scripture, and that's what you're living by, because that's what pleases God. Remember Hebrews 11:6. The thing that pleases God is faith. Now, how much money you give, now how many times you there when the door open, none of that pleases God.
Amen.
The thing that pleases God, you trust in God. You're believing in the provision for our sins and living each day in his power so we can break that cycle of failure.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, God keeps his promise. Remember what he promised to Abraham over there in Genesis 17:7-8? Remember what he promised? Yeah. And it can't be revoked. See, when God promised you things in the faith, nothing changes that. Situation doesn't change. Circumstances doesn't change. None of that stuff changes. The Abrahamic covenant, well, I tell you what, let's kind of go back to where we were yesterday for a moment so I can show you something. Remember in Galatians 3:6-8, Paul states that all of us in the Old Testament saints, as well as the New Testament saints, are saved by grace and not by law. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness, he acted on God's word. That's what he acted on. So that was his faith. And that's the same thing with us. You have to operate in faith, brothers and sisters, and then know what faith is. Understand what faith is. Appreciate what faith is. Engage in what faith is. See? Like I said, it's a lot to unpack here, but I'm going to say this. It's impossible to carry out moral obligation and say, here, Lord, take this, this is what I'm getting. Just think about it. Abel and Cain. Now, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. You know why? Because he gave the faith.
Yes, all right.
See, God don't want you to throw him your crumbs. Well, Lord, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. See, you caught up in pride. You bragging. No, you do it for faith. Lord, I'm depending on your word. I'm depending on your promise.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That your word says that the blessings of Abraham may come on the Gentiles. And, Lord, I realize I was a Gentile. But it's through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's through faith.
Amen.
Yes.
That's why this is so important to know that you're not living by the law, brothers and sisters. So stop trying to practice this old churchy stuff. Stop all of that. You get your Bible and you live by it. And the Spirit gonna help you to do what you need to do at that time, at that moment. At that moment in time and place, God's gonna show you what to do right then. Okay? That's how that's gonna work. I want to share two other, well, matter of fact, let's read probably from the 15th verse down to the 17th.
Is that Galatians 3, 15 through 17, Pastor?
Yeah.
One moment, please.
Yeah.
Galatians 3, 15 through 17. Brethren, I speak after the manner of man, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulled or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said it's not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and they to their, excuse me, and to they seed which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Amen, amen.
Amen. Bring the message, Piper. Excuse me. Friends, let me give you an example from everyday affairs of the free life I am talking about. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one else can annul it to it. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his descendants. You will observe that scripture in the careful language of a legal document does not say to descendants, referring to everybody in general, but to your descendants. The noun note is singular, referring to Christ. This is the way I interpret this. A will earlier ratified by God is not annulled by an addendum attached 430 years later, thereby negating the promise of the will. No, this addendum with its instructions and regulations has nothing to do with the promise inheritance in the will. Amen, amen.
Amen.
So God kept his promise to Abraham. Didn't matter.
Yes.
He had not revoked it. Through thousands of years now has passed. He still saved Abraham. You know why? He was through his faith. He blessed the world through Abraham by sending the Messiah as one of Abraham's descendants.
Thank you.
So circumstances may change, but God doesn't change. Couldn't be revoked. See, it didn't matter. It couldn't be annulled, like a recall or a taken back, rescind. He couldn't do that. Couldn't take it back.
Yeah.
God promised it. So he couldn't reject it. He couldn't, refuse it to say, no, he had to keep his word, and he kept it. He kept it,
Amen. Man.
He kept his word.
Amen.
And listen, brothers and sisters, it's by faith. Even though the law did not come to 430 years after Abraham, it didn't make no difference.
Yeah.
God kept his law. He kept his promise. He kept his promise. And could nothing disapprove of that. Could nothing exclude that.
Could nothing shed out what God has promised? Well, preacher, why are you telling us this? If you find something in the Word of God and God promises it, he's going to keep his word. That I promise you.
Amen.
Okay, how many things changes? God's going to keep his word. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Henry broke it. You know why? It's by faith. So Rebecca says, it's by your faith. It's by the word you find.
Amen.
Keeping
God, brothers and sisters. He, you got a promise keeping God.
Amen.
So it's important.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's important, brothers and sisters, that you know that the law has two functions. On the positive side, it reveals the nature and will of God and show people how to live. And on the negative side, it points out people's sin and shows them that it is impossible to please God without God. Let me say that one more time, because I want you to understand it. It's impossible to please God without God. So how do you please him with him? Watch out, here it comes, with the word.
Hallelujah.
That's what faith is. So that's why he says the more you hear it, the more faith coming. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. See how that thing hooked back up together? And remember, he was the word, or he is the word, and he was the word made flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And there was not anything made except by him, and in him was life.
Amen.
It was faith. Word of God. So Abraham had faith in the word of God. Hey, let me tell somebody something right now. I'm finna get somebody a real powerful word. The last thing Satan wants you to do is do the word of God. He don't want you to do that. He do not want you. And when I say obey, do not look at that negatively. When I say obey, God has given us his word. God is a loving, kind God. He wouldn't give us nothing hard because the word of God is not grievous. But Satan want to change the word of God. He don't want you to know you can speak what the word of God say to speak. You can have what the word of God say. Satan don't want you to know that. He don't want you to come into that. So that's the same thing. Remember, that's a little trick he played with Adam and Eve. He wanted to change that. God said in the eighth that told Adam, said, now, the day you eat of, you shall surely die. So Satan came right back behind God and tried to change it. Oh, you won't surely die. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You won't. It's okay to say this. It's okay to say it. You won't surely die. Matter of fact, tell God, I won't surely die, but I'll be God like you. It was already God. See? But Satan always, that's what you got to know, man. Satan is slick. Whatever he say, do the opposite. When he said you can't, say, oh, with Christ, I can do all things. But when he tell you you can't, you tell him, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Because he's going to bring them bad seeds and try to throw them.
That's right.
You let him know, man, I've been accepted in the beloved. That's who I am now. Matter of fact, let him know that Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. See, when you start talking Satan, like Christ talked. That's why I said, let the mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You start talking like Christ talked, Satan got to get back, Jack. You don't have no choice.
Yes.
Amen.
And then let him know that Colossians 1:13 that I've been delivered from you, Satan. I'm no longer yours now. We broke up.
Hallelujah.
Preach. I'm broke up with you, Satan. I got a new lover now.
Amen.
I cut you out, God. Amen. It's over. I got some new stuff. See, sometimes you got to expect to know what the word of God says. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. Did you know that the law is called the curse of the law? It's sin and death, so that's what goes along with trying to keep the law, is sin and death. Oh, you know that. Well, I'm glad you knew that. And if you didn't know, now you know. Matter of fact, I better let y'all read that. I got some receipts for you. I just don't want to put that out there and somebody say, oh, well, preacher, I didn't find that. Well, let me tell you where it's at. Hallelujah. Bless God. I think it's over there in 1 Peter 1:18-19. That's one of the places is there. It's probably over there in Galatians 3:13 since we're there. We was in Galatians 3. Well, I tell you what, Evangelist William, find 1 Peter, if you will, 1:18-19. And yes, if you don't mind, I'll just go to Galatians 3:13 since we're right there. Hallelujah. Blesses my heart. They both pretty much say the same thing. See? That's what I love about God. He'll put it both places. 3:13 says, Christ have redeemed us. Redeemed us. You know what that means, don't you? Redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangs on the tree. Now read 1 Peter. I want y'all to see this. You've been redeemed from that mess.
1 Peter 3. What else was it, Pastor? 1 Peter.
1:18-19.
Okay. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spots. Amen, amen.
Praise God. From the Message Bible, your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacrifice blood. Now, let me go back. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. And, you know, he died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Amen.
Amen.
Even through it has only lately at the end of ages became public knowledge. My Lord. Amen.
Amen. He did what required, brothers and sisters, to get us back. He purchased us. You know,
Amen.
When you go to Walmart, And then they got that big roll of toilet paper for $13, and you paid for it, you purchased it. That's what redeeming is. He saw us, and the price was the shedded blood, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So he shedded blood. He hung on the cross. So everything that had to be paid for, you had to be a curse. Curses anybody hung on the cross. And you have to be honest with yourself. Three men died on that great day of death. One was on the right and one was on the left. When you stole something, they hung you on a tree because you was considered a curse. So Jesus hung between the two thieves, representing he was a curse like those other two was. Without, and they had to, matter of fact, well, I ain't going to get off on all that, but they all three was cursed. So that was the requirement. Curses anybody hung on the tree. Sin, it was the law of sin and death. That was a curse. He paid it. He hung on there. Then, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So he made the payment. The payment was made. It was secured. The funds. Yes.
Hallelujah. Ooh,
the funds
are
there.
Thank you, Lord.
You went to buy a
Thank
car.
You,
hey, here's the money. This will fulfill it. What you want for it? See, if they say, well, give me $100 worth of food stamps and $5,000 in cash and $2,000 in the cashier's check. Boom, you give them all what they said. Now, this is fulfilled. This is the complete fulfillment. I can do all the other stuff. Whatever it takes to accomplish the deal. You know what I'm saying? You may have to trade something, have to do some other stuff. But the point is, for those Bible scholars out there, it was more than one thing that Jesus had to give. He had to die like with pure blood, like a lamb. That was one of the promises. The blood had to be pure. Somebody had to hang on the tree. See, there's a whole lot of stuff that had to go on to complete the deal, but he complete the deal. He satisfied the promise, what the requirement was. He carried it out, man. He carried it all out.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Don't y'all get me stuff in here? Yeah. In other words, he made good on it. He made good on it. I want to buy that car you got. Well, if you want to buy that car, you're going to have to give me that 75-inch TV, and you're going to have to give me that air fryer, and you're going to have to give me that other thing you got in there, that stereo thing, and then you're going to have to give me $5,000, and that's a deal. See, I had to give up all of that. Had to give up all of that for the car. But that makes it good. I gave up all of that stuff. I fulfilled it. I satisfied the requirement. The wages of sin is death, and he died to death.
Yeah, yeah.
Paid the price. Even though he hadn't sinned, he went far and beyond what was required to accomplish it. He made good on it. Trust me today.
Yeah.
Thank you, Renee. He made good on it. He fulfilled the promise, man. Front and short about the deal. He did what had to be done. It's a good deal. So we could be free. So we could be free.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Pastor, I'd like to read that out of the New Living Translation, 1 Peter 1:18-19. And it's, so you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherit from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began, but he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes. So that's why.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
That the blessings of Abraham may come on us through Jesus Christ.
Thank
that we can
Lord.
Receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But, hey, every man got to operate on his own right now. Hey,
amen.
You that?
Yeah.
Amen.
I like
it. Amen.
You got to stand on your own faith. You got to get you some. Get you some.
Yes.
Get your couple of scripts and stand on. Get your son.
That's son. Right.
It's
Amen.
Free. It's free.
Yes,
it is.
Don't let these folks out here on the internet and give them, oh, well, you got to do this. No, just get you the word of God. That's your faith. That's where your faith is, right there. That's what you're trusting in, God's word. And believe me, the Holy Spirit will literally open that book up for you. Tell you to get before
right.
it and start praying.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.
Just start praying for your
Hallelujah.
Own and watch. He going to literally talk to you.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Anybody else have anything they want to share before we close here? Hallelujah. You know, tomorrow is Thankful Thursday. I just love when folks get up and just go, well, I sure thank the Lord for this scripture. I mean, I don't care if you don't understand. I just thank him for a scripture, man. When you think about how good he's been to you, how far he brought you, I mean, come on now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I look at them people, hurricane. They lost everything. They had ladies sitting up there crying. Crying. Don't have nowhere to go. Don't have nothing. The hurricane just took all that she had and took it off into the sea. See, that's the kind of stuff the devil do. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. Because God wouldn't have done that. God prevents that kind of stuff. But since we know that Satan has but a short time, he trying to destroy everything he can in his path. That don't have nothing to do with your eternal life, but I'm just telling you. So we all can be thankful for some stuff. On
tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Y'all that little update, you know that, yeah, you can be thankful. But if nothing else, hey, man, I'll see you guys on tomorrow. That's Thankful Thursday.